Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Thank you for tuning into the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and I am so excited to be back with you after a rather lengthy hiatus. Today we will be talking about the book Littlest Bigfoot by Jennifer Weiner. But before we get started with that, I would like to just reiterate something that I've said before. But as I said, we've had a rather lengthy hiatus, so just talk a little bit about what I like to do on this podcast. It is called the Book Review Podcast, but while I am reviewing books, I also like to review and talk about books that might be new, might not be new, might be bestsellers, might not be bestsellers, might just be something that I picked up on a whim and I really liked and thought, hey, I want to talk about this book. So in my mind, this podcast tends to be more of a book club podcast, except of course I'm just here in the studio by myself talking to you, so it's not exactly a dialogue, but I like to think of it more as a book club. And of course I would love to have you engage with me on social media if that's your thing. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. You can follow us on gsmcpodcastnetwork.com. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what your favorite books are. I'd love to hear what you think about the books that I feature in this podcast. I'd love to hear if there's a book that you would like to hear about on this podcast. So as I said, today we'll be talking about the book Littlest Bigfoot by Jennifer Weiner. And Ms. Weiner is an author that I've been reading for a while. She writes, she has been writing adult novels, and I've enjoyed them. I always enjoy when a new one comes out and I pick it up. I know that I'm going to be engaged. I'm going to find her characters compelling, whether I agree with their actions and motives or not. I always enjoy her books. I always enjoy her characters. And so when I heard that she was writing a young adult book, I was really excited because, as I said, I enjoy her books, and I was excited to see what she would do with a slightly different genre, because not only is it a young adult book, but it's also in the realm of supernatural, because as you can tell from the title, Littlest Bigfoot, there are Bigfoots in it. And that is something that they discuss in the book. Bigfoots, big feet, which is proper. The book comes down on the side of Bigfoots. I've never done really any research on the topic of Bigfoot or Bigfoots, so I don't know if that's what the Bigfoot hunting community or, you know, Bigfoot investigating community would refer to them as, but that's what the book says, so that's what we're going with, Bigfoots. So let me just give you the description of the book. This is from Jennifer Weiner's website, and it says, from New York Times best-selling author Jennifer Weiner comes a laugh-out-loud, funny, and painstakingly real tale of friendship, furry creatures, and finding the place where you belong. 12-year-old Alice Mayfield is uncomfortable in her own skin. Ignored by her family, shipped off to boarding school, Alice slips through the world unseen and unnoticed. More than anything, Alice would like a friend. And when she rescues mysterious, spirited Millie Maximus from drowning in a lake one day, she finds one. But Millie is a Bigfoot, part of a long-forgotten clan who dwell deep in the woods, silent and hidden from the human eye. Most Bigfoots believe that people, no-furs as they call them, are dangerous. Yet Millie is fascinated with the no-fur world. Millie is convinced that humans will appreciate all the things about her that her Bigfoot tribe does not. Her fearless nature, her lovely singing voice, and her desire to be a star. Alice swears to protect Millie and her tribe, and the two girls go in pursuit of a place where they both fit in. But what they don't know is that a league of Bigfoot hunters is on their trail, led by a lonely kid named Jeremy. And in order to survive, Alice and Millie have to put their trust in each other and their faith in themselves above all else. So just reading that description, I was intrigued by the book. I was excited to see what it would what direction it would go, what the characters were going to do. And as I didn't realize when I was reading it, but I realized at the end when, I'm not going to tell you the end, but it didn't conclude in the way that I thought it might, that there was definitely going to be a book after. And I read today that, yes, it is the first of a trilogy. I didn't realize that going in, but I'm excited because I really grew to love these characters, and I am excited that there's going to be two more books where we can explore their relationship, their friendship, watch them continue to grow. Because these are characters that just don't fit in their surroundings. Even the somewhat lesser character, and I don't mean lesser, I mean minor, more, he's more of a minor character, excuse my stuttering. Jeremy is a more of a minor character, but he's really important to the plot of the book. You don't get as many chapters focusing on him, but he's still really important to that plot. And he doesn't feel like he fits in anywhere. Jeremy is the youngest of three brothers. One of his older brothers, you know, is incredibly intelligent. He went to college. He finished high school and then went to college at a very young age. He's doing all of these things in science. And then his other older brother is an athlete, an incredible athlete that everyone is so super impressed with. And when it comes to Jeremy, his parents are always kind of like, well, this is our youngest, Jeremy. And at one point, he thought maybe he was going to be a world-famous musician, and he pinned his hopes on that. But he realizes that he's not his brothers, and he's trying to find his identity in the world, and he's trying to gain the attention of his parents, and he stumbles across some Bigfoot research, and it just sucks him in. It compels him to learn more and find out, because he does believe that Bigfoots are real. He believes the research that he's seen. He believes what he thinks he saw in the woods one day, and so he really goes out and tries to find it. And he does find a friend in this process, whose name is Joe, and she and he, Joe and Jeremy, go looking for Bigfoots. They fuel that part of the plot. And now I want to talk about the main characters, but we do have to take our first break. So please stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast. We were discussing before the break one of the characters in the book Littlest Bigfoot by Jennifer Weiner, and that character is Jeremy. The two main characters, though, in this book are two young women, they're 12, by the names of Alice and Millie. Alice is the human or no fur character in the book, and Millie is the Bigfoot in the book. So, first Alice. And Alice, as all of the characters in this book does not feel like she fits in. She doesn't feel like she is accepted by her parents either, the same kind of way that Jeremy doesn't feel like he's accepted by his parents. She is too big, she thinks. She's got broad shoulders. She's got strong thighs and leg muscles. She's tall. She's muscular, and she just feels like she's too big. She doesn't fit in with the other upper-class New York kids in the boarding schools that she goes to. And she has been in 8 different boarding schools in the 8 years that she has gone to school. So you can see how her life has just been a series of new experiences, new schools, you know, trying to find the place where she fits in. And her parents have hired a woman to help them find the right school for Alice. And so they keep trying all these different places, you know, with different teaching styles, different communities, different areas, to see if they can figure out, how Alice learns, how it's not so much about how she learns, but how she can fit in, because she doesn't fit in. And she always ends up not wanting to go back or being asked to not come back or whatever. And she tends to be bullied in the schools that she's in. She doesn't fit in. She's awkward. She's big, as I said, bigger than the other girls often. And she has this crazy wild head of hair, curly, reddish, blonde hair that she refers to as the mane, capital T, capital N. No matter what she does to the mane, no matter what products she tries or styles she tries to force it into, it has a mind of its own. It's long, it's curly, it's unruly, and it's another thing that sets her apart from the girls at whatever school it is that she ends up going to. So this book takes place then in her eighth grade year, where she's finally found, or not finally, where she's now found this new school. Her parents are sending her to a new experimental school, upstate New York, and it's in an old summer camp. So you can get the image of it. You know, you've got outdoors, you've got summer camp type cabins, and the school is run by a couple who you could very easily call hippies if you want. You know, they believe in sustainable living, of vegetarianism, of all of those types of things. They also believe in creating the most welcoming and loving environment that they can possibly create in order for their students to feel loved and accepted and welcomed. And so they don't have students, they have learners, they don't have teachers, they have guides, those sorts of things. So they see it as this learning journey that they're all on together, that they're traveling together to try and find the best way to give the children the education that they need. So in some ways, it's this kind of weird, zany place. But in other ways, you know, it's this really welcoming environment. And as kooky as the two people might seem, they really do care about their students. I'm sorry, their learners. They really do care about them and their education and their well-being. So at first, things go well for Alice at this school. She doesn't exactly have friends, but her cabin mates are friendly enough, she thinks, and they don't give her a bad time about things. So she's having a good time until a couple of weeks into the new school year, when a mean girl, and that's the best way to describe her, shows up and pretty much begins to make Alice's life miserable. And this is what she keeps saying. This is what happens to her every year, every school year. There's this perfect girl with the perfect hair and the perfect outfits who makes Alice's life miserable. And this new student doesn't really seem to fit in with the other students. They always say that the students each have a thing. So one of Alice's roommates is a fencer, and that's her thing. Her other roommate is very creative. She sews her own clothes, and she has allergies, really bad allergies, poor thing. So they all have a thing that kind of maybe makes them a little bit different in mainstream schools. But this new girl is sort of your quintessential, typical mean girl. You know, she's got the perfect makeup. She's got the perfect hair. She says all the right charming, sweet things to the teachers and the leaders of the school, but behind their backs, she is very, very mean to Alice. And there is one instance that really facilitates Alice and Millie's meeting. And I won't give away too much of the book, but you know, you know the type of relationship that I'm talking about. I'm sure you do. So Alice, one of the main characters, doesn't feel like she fits in, really just wants a friend in life. She doesn't feel like her parents understand her, like they even really love her, even when she's with them, which isn't very often. She doesn't see them that much during the school year or during the summer months. She never feels like she fits in. The only person in her family that she feels like she really does fit in with and who loves her is her grandmother. So she at least has that sort of support. She does have that support system, but she's never felt like she had a true friend. And so that's where we get this encounter with Millie. And I'm going to talk more about Millie, but we are going to take our second break of the podcast. So stay tuned and we will be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about one of the characters, one of the main characters in Jennifer Weiner's new young adult book, The Littlest Bigfoot. And that character's name is Alice. And she's a 12-year-old human, or gopher. And she meets, while she's at this upstate New York outdoor school, a Bigfoot named Millie. So Millie is the second main character of this book. And as I said, Millie is a Bigfoot. So right away, she's very different from Alice, but she's very similar to Alice in a lot of ways because she doesn't feel like she fits in anywhere either. Where Alice feels like she's too big, she's way bigger than all of the girls around her, Millie is the littlest Bigfoot. She's the one where from where the book gets its title. She is the daughter of the leader of the Bigfoot tribe, and she's tiny. She's very small. She's not growing as fast as the other Bigfoots. She's not as fast as they are. She's not as strong as they are. And her fur is a different color. Where they're all in different shades of brown, Millie, for some reason, has silver fur. So she stands out. But that's not the only reason that she doesn't fit in. Probably that wouldn't be as big of an issue, just looking different. But she also thinks differently than the rest of the tribe. So the way that the tribe stays safe and stays protected is by being very quiet, being very inconspicuous, and not drawing attention to themselves. We do get a little bit of history in the book, and the Bigfoots used to exist side by side in society with humans, but that changed, and they became hunted and persecuted, and now they live as quietly and inconspicuously as possible. So they live across the lake from the school that Alice attends, and Bigfoots don't actually call themselves Bigfoots. They call themselves Yares. So the Yare village, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's Y-A-R-E, Yare. The Yare village is across the lake from the school that Alice attends. So they live mostly underground just to keep themselves hidden. I love that they support themselves they do a lot of creating of things. They do crafts and they do food, like canning and those sorts of things. And they have their own Etsy store, which is fabulous. So they have one laptop in the village, and that's how they do their Etsy store. That's how they make their living. That's how they pay for things. And so they live as much off the grid as they possibly can, besides this one laptop. They live as much out of the public eye as they possibly can. And that just doesn't sit well with Millie. Millie is fascinated by the outside world. The Yares are raised to be very quiet. You're not supposed to yell. You're not supposed to raise your voice. But Millie is exuberant. She loves life. She loves to, be loud. And she loves to sing. There's a reality TV show that she tries to watch as often as she can. That's kind of like, it sounds like The Voice or The X Factor, one of those things. But she so wants to figure out how she can blend into the no-fur world and be on this show because she's convinced that she will be able to win this show, that her voice is the ticket to her fitting into the no-fur world. So she does not fit in with the other Yares, who are terrified that they will be discovered, terrified that they will be hunted and persecuted again as they were in the past. And Millie just wants to learn more what she can. She wants to find a friend in the no-fur world. She wants to fit in. in the no fur world. She wants to fit in with the Yers as well because they are her family, they are her tribe, but she really just doesn't understand why they can't find a way to have relationship with the human world. So, you know what's going to happen, you know, because the book tells you on the description that Millie and Alice are going to somehow meet each other and they are going to become friends. And they do. I'm not, again, going to tell you how that happens or how the book turns out, but as you can probably imagine, Millie and Alice come into contact with each other, realize that in their differences, they are very similar to each other, and they begin to form a relationship. They begin to get to know each other, get to know each other's histories and cultures and all of their differences and all their similarities, and it's this beautiful story of friendship. But you know that it's never that easy. And you know from the first part of this podcast that Jeremy is out there. And Jeremy really wants to impress his family. He wants to prove that there are Bigfoots in the world. And he is on the hunt. So you know there's going to be a confrontation of some sort. And as you're reading this, you're just wondering when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, and how they are going to deal with it. So you've got, you know, you've got friendship, you've got conflict, you've got all of the elements of a good book. You've got the issues of bullying, of not fitting in, of all of those things that many of our young adults go through in life. Junior high is not easy. Middle school is not easy, no matter what kind of a school you go to. No matter if you're a fur or, a year or a no fur, middle school can be miserable. So I like that it explores that age group. It explores the idea of friendship. It explores not fitting in, trying to learn how to fit in or learn how to love yourself, learn how to love the differences that you have, learn how to embrace the differences that someone else may have. So it covers all of these great topics that affect young children of that age, you know, where they're on that cusp. They're not exactly small children anymore, but they're not adults. They're not even teenagers yet. So I loved this book. It's written with warmth and humor. It's different enough that it's not cliche, even though it covers a lot of topics that get covered in young adult books. It's not something that you feel like you've read before. It's not formulaic. So even though you feel like you might know what's about to happen or what's going to happen, it's not in any way formulaic or predictable. It's just a really sweet and entertaining read. And I highly recommend it to you as an adult. I highly recommend it to middle schoolers who want a good book about friendship and fitting in. And I am so excited that it is the first of a trilogy because I didn't want my relationship with these characters to end. So I put out my plea to Ms. Weiner. Please, 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 I know you're working on other things, but if you could just write the next two books faster. And then if your publishers, because I know that you only have the control of the writing, but if they could just publish it, I know I'm probably going to have to wait a year between books because that's the way it always works. But I'm really excited for the next two. So I highly recommend this book if you are interested in A, young adult books, if you're interested in B, books about friendship, or C, supernatural, paranormal, not paranormal, but it definitely does have that sort of supernatural element to it with the Yers and their history and, you know, the mystery surrounding the Bigfoots and whether or not they actually exist, which of course they do in this book. So that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for joining me as we talked about The Littlest Bigfoot by Jennifer Weiner. I hope you'll tune in next time again, and I so enjoy these times that I have with you. As I said at the beginning of the podcast, you can follow us on social media. We are on Facebook, we are on Instagram, we are on Twitter. You can also go to www.gsmcpodcast.com, and that will give you links to all of our podcasts. Actually, we have a lot of different variety of topics, so I'm sure there's something that will pique. I hope you'll join me again next time for another episode of the GSMC Book Review Podcast. But in the meantime, go out and get lost in a good book.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. GSMCpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.